Breaking Soul Ties with Shaladio. On this broadcast, Shaladio teaches God's word on soul ties and other relationship issues affecting the believer. Listen and be blessed.
Hello, you're welcome to Prayer and Fasting, day number 31. So this is day 31 of our series on prayer and fasting. Today we are opening a new segment that I titled The Master's View on Prayer and Fasting. Prayer and fasting is such a fundamental topic in the Bible. And Jesus, our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, had quite a few things. He had a few things to say about prayer and fasting that we're going to search for in the scriptures. We're going to search through the scriptures to find out what he said and what he did about prayer and fasting. Now, our prayer point for today, which is the final day of the 21-day fast, is, Lord, I receive grace to seek first your kingdom in fasting and in prayer and in giving, in Jesus' name. And the scripture for that is in Matthew 6:33. It says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So we started our journey with, you know, like scriptures. Scriptural promises and prophetic utterances require a fight of faith. And then days 6 to 10, we spoke about our personal call to prayer and fasting. That how do you know that you are being called into a season of prayer and fasting? And then days 11 to 15, we spoke about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and praying in tongues. And days 16 to 20, we looked at the God-appointed fast, the kind of fast that that God respects or God honors. Yeah, let's put it that way. The kind of fast that gets God involved in your life. Then days 21 to 25, we looked at the word factor. Now, the word factor is the most important factor in prayer and fasting. It is important that while you are on a fast, you are taking in the word of God into your system. And Bible examples of fasting, days 26 to 30, this is also very interesting. We looked at the Ezra fast, we looked at the Jehoshaphat fast, we looked at the Daniel fast, and we also looked at the disciples. We looked at the disciples fast. Then today we're looking at the Master's view on prayer and fasting for the next 5 days. The Master's view on prayer and fasting. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We read from verse 1. And we're going to discover a few things from the scriptures today. Matthew 6, we read from verse 1. It says, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. So Jesus is saying here that when you give, you know, like when you give financial seeds and all the rest, that you should not do it in such a way that you want to be noticed and be honored by men. And that if you use that approach, then you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And verse 2 says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So it means that any time you give and you are seeking for honor amongst men or glory amongst men, God is saying that that's your reward. You already have your reward. But the kind of giving that Jesus was recommending was that in verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy hand left hand know what thy right hand doeth, which means that he was saying that you should have some secrecy and privacy in your giving activity. And verse 4 says that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. So the way the kingdom of God operates is that you give in secret, as in you give in a way that people don't necessarily notice or know anything about what you're doing, but that your outward life will now be a reflection of the Father's reward, open reward, for what you have done in secret. But then let us look at verse 3 and take note of the first two words there. It says, but when thou doest alms. It didn't say, but if thou doest alms. When means that it is a continuous practice, that it is something that Jesus assumed you would always do, which is that you would always give. So you see, giving is a very central pillar in Christianity. Don't mind all the bad press that has gone against it. It is a central pillar of Christianity. If anyone robs you of this pillar, they've effectively robbed you of Christianity. It's that serious. And then let's move on. Let's go to verse 5. It says, and when, can you see the same two words again? The first one was, and when thou doest alms. This one now is, and when thou prayest. So Jesus assumed you would always pray. Thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. So it means that look for a private place, preferably. And when thou hast shut thy door means that when you have eliminated all distracting influences. You see, we're going to come to those scriptures in a few days. Jesus always sought private places where he could go and pray, away from the distractions of the people that were following him around. And he says, and pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You see that again? That when you are praying, you don't necessarily let your prayer points be declared or be published to people. You don't let people necessarily see what your prayer life is all about. But God, who sees what you are praying about, he sees you in secret, will reward you openly. And verse 7, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. So we see now the first pillar we discussed here was, but when thou doest alms. The second pillar is when thou prayest. So those are two strong pillars of Christianity: your giving life and your prayer life. And then we're going to look at a third pillar, and we're going to find that in verses 16 to 18. Moreover, when ye fast, can you see again? When ye fast. So we started with when thou doest alms, when thou prayest, and now when you fast. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, means that, you know, you should get a good bath, wash thy face, you know, wash thy face, anoint thy head, put on some cologne and smell nice, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So you see, three things again, that were three pillars that we've discovered now. When thou doest alms, when thou prayest, when thou fastest. So three strong pillars of Christianity. Jesus practiced this, and Jesus assumed that his audience also practiced this. So it's not a command per se that that somebody will whip you with, you know, a horse whip if you don't do these things. That's not the issue here. The issue here is that for certain things to happen, for the Father's activity, for the Father's reward to be seen openly in your life, you have to be involved in these three things. You have to be involved in giving, you have to be involved in praying, and you have to be involved in fasting. It is very, very essential. These are absolute kingdom essentials. And then let's go to verse 30 to round up this discussion. He says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is," I suggest you read the entire chapter 6 after this series, after this message rather, "and tomorrow is cast into the heaven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." So Jesus is saying that, look, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear, all these things are the things that the Gentiles seek. And of course, you know all around you that Gentiles are seeking these things, and they are ready to kill, ready to cheat, ready to tell lies to get ahead in these things. But the Bible is saying, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." So it doesn't mean that we too do not need these things. The Bible says your heavenly Father already knows that you need all these things. But Jesus now gave the approach that he wants us to take in order to have these same things. Verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." He says, "But seek ye first." Even though the Father knows that we need the same things that the Gentiles are killing themselves for and cheating and doing all sorts of things for, Jesus says that we should seek first the kingdom of God. How do you seek first the kingdom of God? You seek first the kingdom of God in your fasting, in your praying, and in your giving. So in those three spiritual activities, the Bible says your Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. So it is very essential that we seek God first, we seek his kingdom and his righteousness, so that all these things shall be added unto us. So how do we practicalize this? So it means that when the year starts, you're going to ask yourself, how do I seek first the kingdom of God? You are going to seek him in prayer, you're going to seek him in fasting, and you're going to seek him in giving. So that is why, that is the major reason why people decide that, okay, at the beginning of the year, I am going to seek first the kingdom of God. I'm going to take time off to pray. I'm going to take time off to fast. And I'm also going to take time off to give. So those three pillars, you sink them into the ground of your heart at the beginning of the year to secure your year. And that is how you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and let the Gentiles keep going, and let them, you know, go aggressively, you know, for gold and for silver and for all the things of the earth today. But we have been called to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, so that all these things shall be added unto us. And we do that through prayer, through fasting, and through giving. And our Father who sees us in secret shall reward us openly. So the three major ways in which we seek first the kingdom of God are through giving, through prayer and through fasting. And in the place of fasting, we are receiving God's word, we are absorbing God's word into our spirit, and we are praying according to God's word, demanding for a manifestation of that which he has promised us. And then also our giving alms to the poor will unlock the manifestation of our prayers into outward, into action as we do that, in Jesus' name. So I'll see you guys again tomorrow. God bless you. Bye.
Welcome back to the second part of this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shola Adio. Listen and be blessed.
Hello, you're welcome to Prayer and Fasting, Day 32. Today we're going to continue with our discussion on the Master's view on prayer and fasting, or like the what Jesus said or did around the subject of prayer and fasting. That's observing his life, anyway, of his life of dedication to prayer and fasting. So we started our journey by saying that prophetic utterances and scriptures, promises from scriptures, require a fight of faith in days 1 to 5, and then our personal call to prayer and fasting from days 6 to 10, then praying in tongues from days 11 to 15, and then we describe the God-appointed fast from Isaiah 58 in day 16 to day 20, and then we looked at the word factor in days 21 to 25. Now, the word factor is very important. Make sure you don't miss watching these episodes, because while you are fasting, God's word is the most important factor than any other thing. And then from days 26 to 30, we looked at Bible examples of fasting. And then from days 31 to 35, we're on a journey to find out what the Master's view was on prayer and fasting. That's Jesus Christ himself. So let's go to Matthew chapter 4, and in Matthew chapter 4 we see the first mention of Jesus having fasted, you know, and prayed. Now Matthew chapter 4, we read from verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered, that he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written." So we see here that during the season of fasting and prayer, or just after he completed the fast of 40 days and 40 nights, the tempter came along to tempt him with something that was food related. It says, "Command these stones to be made bread." And the Bible says that Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And then the next thing, the Bible says that then devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now, there is a similar account, in fact, more like the same event, but a very similar account of the same event in Luke chapter 4. Interestingly, the same chapter number, chapter 4, starting from the beginning as well, but we're not going to read it today. But there was one verse that Luke had, which Matthew did not have, which I've decided to put on this page, and that's Luke chapter 4, verse 13. He says, "And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season." So we see here that Satan's attack, Satan's temptations are seasonal. They are for a season. So he times his activities and his attacks for a particular season. So let's take note of that. But let's, you know, just have another look again at what happened here. Let's have another look at what happened here. He says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." And let's look at verse 3. "And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." Now, at this point, what has happened? Jesus had fasted and prayed for 40 days, and he was hungry. And then Satan said, "Since you are the Son of God, command these stones, you know, to be made bread." Because if you look at it, it's as though, look, you are so hungry, you cannot even wait. You don't want to wait for natural food to be cooked or proper food to be cooked. Just abuse your privilege and position as the Son of God and turn stone into bread. And then the Bible says that Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So we see that Jesus brought out, now, two things there. Number one, Jesus countered him with a scripture saying that it is written. I want to say to you, brethren, that in a fast, if Satan comes against you with a temptation, get the scriptures out and throw the scriptures back at him and say that it is written. So we see here that Jesus countered Satan on three occasions with the written word of God that had been revealed unto him. And then the next thing is that he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So we see here that Jesus was passing a message again across to us that, look, your sustenance in life today does not depend on physical food alone, but also depends on the word that is proceeding out of the mouth of God. So you see, it is very important for us to note as Christians that your survival today, your progress today, is not tied only to physical nourishment, but is tied to spiritual nourishment. He says, "But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So for you to live and to survive and to exist the way you should exist, then you must be feeding off words that proceed out of the mouth of God. So it means that God must be saying something to you. That word there is rhema. That's the specific word for you that is proceeding to you out of the mouth of God. And you see, what Jesus was also saying here is that because he had fasted, he had put himself in a place where he could receive words that were directly proceeding out of the mouth of God. So fasting and prayer season is a season where you receive words from God that are proceeding directly out of his mouth. And the other two temptations, again, he also countered Satan by saying, "It is written, it is written." Then another lesson we want to learn here let's actually look at the scriptures that Jesus quoted from. Now, for the first temptation, he quoted directly from Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 3, which says, "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." So we see here that fasting is a time where you are humbled, or where we are humbled, because I will also fast as well, that where we are humbled and we are permitted, so far there means permitted, to hunger, so that we can be fed directly with every word that is proceeding out of the mouth of God. So it means that during the time of fasting and prayer, when you are not eating physical food, you are receiving spiritual food from God, which is what your entire life is going to depend on. So if you are a Christian and you are not, you don't have any program, any personal program at all, where you fast and suspend food intake, then it will be difficult for you to put yourself in a place where you are able to receive every word that is proceeding out of the mouth of God. Fasting is a time where we are in a position to receive every word that is proceeding out of the mouth of God. So it is very important and very crucial. Now, the second temptation, what Satan did was to misquote scriptures to Jesus from Psalm 91 verses 11 to 12. It says, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." So Satan misquoted this scripture and quoted it in the wrong context to try to tempt Jesus. And Jesus replied him again from Deuteronomy, the same book. It says, "Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massa." That's the scripture that Jesus quoted from, you know, when he says, "You shall not tempt the Lord thy God." So it is very important. You see, what has happened here is that Satan misquoted scriptures. And you see, it is actually still happening today in Christianity. Satan is misquoting scriptures to people and leading Christians to do silly things and to do crazy things. I mean, there are many scriptures that, you know, Christians misquote. I mean, another one example I can give you is, I think it's the 1 Corinthians 7, where they misquote, I mean, Christians misquote the scriptures that, oh yes, it's okay to go and marry an unbeliever. No, that was not what the scripture was saying there. What the scripture was saying there was that if you are already married to an unbeliever, you should pray for their salvation, and you should still live with them as husband and wife, except if the other person refuses, you know, to live with you because you are a Christian. Now, Christians misquote that a lot. So there are places in the scriptures that Christians can easily misquote. And you see, you might not realize that it is Satan who is actually supervising such things, causing people to misunderstand the scriptures, misquote the scriptures, and go out and do the wrong things. So you see that, and that was the same thing that he wanted to do to Jesus here, but Jesus countered him with that scripture. And then the last temptation was when he took him again and said he should fall down before him and worship him. And Jesus quoted again another scripture, Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 13. He says, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name." That was the scripture that Jesus quoted from. So we see that during this time of prayer and fasting, Jesus was definitely busy. He was definitely busy studying the scriptures. There was no proof here that Jesus produced a sheet of paper where he quoted the scriptures from. He quoted the scriptures directly from his heart against Satan. They were direct words of God against the onslaught of the enemy. So we see that time of prayer and fasting is a time where we should feed on the scriptures. So anytime you're fasting and intake of physical food is suspended, then you should depend heavily on intake of spiritual food, which is the word of God, the words that are proceeding out of the mouth of God. So in closing, I just want to say this, that fasting is a time where we should be feeding on the word of God. Fasting is a time where we should be asking the Holy Spirit to grant us insight into the revelation of scriptures. Fasting is a time where we should seek for specific direction from God's word. Jesus quoted three scriptures against Satan to crush the temptations that Satan brought his way. Fasting should be a time where we loudly declare the scriptures against our temptations and overcome them. So if you have temptations in your flesh, maybe you're being tempted to, you know, fornicate or go into adultery and stuff like that, just bring out the scriptures and speak those scriptures loudly against those temptations. Say to Satan, "It is written," and you will feel the power come out of your mouth in those scriptures that will crush the temptation of Satan. And in closing, I want to read the scripture to you. Matthew 12:35 says, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." So fasting and prayer time should be a time where you are putting the treasure of the word of God into your heart, so that when temptations arise, you will bring forth the good treasure that you have put inside your heart against the temptations of Satan. So I bring this episode to a close, and I'll see you guys tomorrow for day 33. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shaladio. To learn more about Soul Ties on Twitter, please follow our Shaladio and our Soul Ties tweets. You can also visit www.breakingsoulties.com to read up on Soul Ties. To contact Shaladio, please send an email to breakingsoulties@charisministries.org. That is KARIS. ministries.org. You can also chat with him on BBM by using the following pin: 52C7F3CD. I repeat, 52C7F3CD. We have come to the end of this episode of Breaking Soul Ties with Shaladio. See you again same time next week. Jesus is Lord.